Well, tonight, one of the sayings of Jesus is one that's been always one of my favorites, where he hurls an insult at somebody, or at least it appears that way. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 31, reads this. Just at that time, some Pharisees came up, saying to him, "Go away and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal.'" Well, what's going on here? Jesus calls Herod that fox. Now, who was Herod? Herod was the son of Herod the Great, who was truly a great ruler in the area, not only of Israel, and but a larger area than that for a time. He rebuilt the temple, and it was more spectacular and of greater size even than apparently Solomon's temple. Whether he was a true believer or not, the final day will reveal. But this is his son, Herod Antipas. He was born 21 B.C. And he was the Herod who sought to put to death the children when the wise men came from the east, having seen the star that led them to Jerusalem. And then they were further by the word of God directed to Bethlehem. Herod tried to put, he was in a powerful position. He inherited much, though not all, of the territory and the powers of his father. And yet he was insecure. He was fragile. And it made him paranoid. He was very suspicious and took ruthless measures to try and attain his peace and security, such as putting all of the male children born from 2 years and under to death in order to make sure he got the one who was born king of the Jews that the wise man alerted him to. But the point is that Herod came from a powerful father, a powerful line, and was raised in the world of power brokers and might making right, position making right. And he found Jesus to be a rising threat as an adult. I don't think he made the connection between the one born king of the Jews. He may have thought, for all I did with all those baby boys that were put to death, I must have missed the one that counted. But anyway, he sends threats. He's breathing threats. And some of the Pharisees, these apparently are ones who are a mixed bag. Some of them would have been enemies of Jesus. Some of them would have been like Nicodemus, at least intrigued by Jesus and drawn to him to some extent. But at any rate, this is Jesus heading to Jerusalem. And he's heading there knowing that he's going to be betrayed. And he's going to give his life to die for sinners. And here's this earthly monarch leveling threats at him. He's going to put Jesus to death. Now, if you were a betting person and you wanted to double your savings account rather than lose it all, who would you bet on in a power play between Herod and Jesus? Jesus had no army. Herod had a sizable army, lots of power, lots of spies, lots of intelligence network to inform you of things. Jesus had a little ragtag band of disciples and then crowds that would pop up every so often. Of course, if we're talking about our life savings, we want it to be secure. Keep it with Herod, the bank of Herod. And we like Jesus. Honestly, we do like him better than we like Herod. But Herod's going to have his way here. Who's to stop him? Jesus as a baby may have managed to escape the attempt to murder him. But now as a grown man, he's easily identifiable. Herod's got him in the crosshairs, and that Jesus is going to be a goner. So what does Jesus say in response to this? Go and tell that fox. Now, some people think, well, Jesus is getting a little ragged here. He's mentally and emotionally drawn out because of all the approach of the cross and the pain of it and everything. It's understandable he'd start calling names, probably be cursing and swearing soon. It's understandable. He's still a good savior. But it's not that at all. It's not Jesus in his weakness slipping up and like a bad boy calling somebody else a name. This is, remember, the second Adam. And just as the first Adam named all the animals, and what he named them, that was their name. Because the naming in Hebrew is not just an arbitrary designation, but it's supposed to accord with the nature of what's being named. And so when Jesus calls Herod a fox, he's really giving a warning to Herod that you're not a very nice fellow, and you're just an opportunist and a predator. You promote yourself by cunning. You promote yourself at the expense of others. And is that really the way you want to be, with the thought of having one day to give account of yourself to God? You see, prior to this passage, somebody came to Jesus in verse 23 and said to him, Lord, are there few who are being saved? So the question of, is everybody saved? No. Some are not saved. Well, are there many saved or just a few saved? And Jesus answers the question simply by saying, look, you concern yourself with yourself. He says, you strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And that's the context of this. This is really a kind of a gospel appeal that Jesus is giving to Herod. Herod, you think that you have all this might and power. You think that you have all this authority. You think you have the respect of people. You're a fox, a common thief, a spoiler of vineyards. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to be that way. It's also alerting anybody who looks to Herod and thinks he's a powerful person and we just have to come to terms with him. Don't offend him. Don't upset him. He may cut off his giving to the tabernacle and the synagogues and the temple and the synagogues. No, look at him. Look at him closer. It's just the fox. He's not very impressive. He's not very powerful. He employs cunning. He's more cunning than he is powerful. Look at the other animal here. There is another animal here. Jesus styled himself, named himself as the Lamb of God, the Lamb who would sacrifice himself to promote others. And here we have the choice every one of us has in our lives and in every moment of our lives. Are we going to align ourselves with the Lamb of God and even sacrifice ourselves? You don't have to be afraid of the world threatening to kill you. You're determined to kill yourself. You're determined to lay down your life if it would mean lifting up and promoting a brother or sister. Is that the way we're going to live? Or is it going to be the way of the fox? Cunning, threatening, bullying, thinking that's the way to get ahead by putting down others. It's a wonderful code that Jesus speaks to for all to have ears to hear. And Herod, so far as we know, never heeded it. This is the man who, in the book of Acts, when he was mad at one of the cities and he decided to visit that city, the people, townspeople thought, you know, we better butter him up. He's mad at us. He's going to punish us. So they acclaimed him to be a god. And he was eaten with worms because he cultivated that projection of himself, expected others to buy into it. And here he was glorying in it. At the height of his glory, he was eaten by worms and he died. Jesus is on his way into Jerusalem. When he says, go tell that fox, here's what Jesus does. He casts out demons. He uses power, and he has power. He uses it for good and against true evil, hidden, deceptive evil, casts out demons, performs cures. He makes people well, strong. He empowers people. And I do this today and tomorrow, the third day I reach my goal. What's that? The third day is his crucifixion. Herod couldn't take Jesus' life. Jesus would give up his life. And as the scene plays out in the following days, it works out exactly as Jesus predicted and promised it would. And Herod, his impotence and his ignorance and his suicidal stubbornness all come into stark relief. They're very evident. So which is it? Herod, the self-promoter, or Jesus, the Lamb of God? We trust in Jesus. And as ones who do that, we want to make our choices day by day, moment by moment, in the same way that Jesus made his. I'm giving myself as a devotee, a disciple of the Lamb of God, to be a living sacrifice to my God. And I want my life to count for others. Not for promoting myself. Let them increase. Let me decrease. It's the way I desire it. It's the way of love. And it's the way of giving life and the joy of life to others.